Om Shanti, everyone. Welcome. So, what do we do? Well, it's going to be very entertaining because this is not a panel. You're not here, and we don't have a topic. And so, this is a very unusual panel without being a panel, not having a topic when usually we have a topic. And normally I ask questions, but I'm asked not to ask questions, right? So we're supposed to have a conversation.
Can I just first ask my companions here, how many of you know Sister Manda?
Now, this is a popularity contest. I'm going to lose.
And how many of you know Brother Eric? Ha, you see? So then...
How many know what?
For the sake...
Sisters are winning again. You know?
For the sake of those who do not, may not know my two companions, then I just wanted to say a couple of words. And Manda I've known since she came to Baba about 36 years ago. And yes, no question, she is a spiritual friend and from whom I've learned many things. And I watch her as she progresses, and I feel at the moment that she's on the brink of stepping into something new. I laud her courage and her honesty, and I sincerely feel that Baba and Drama are preparing her to be a leader in the purest, truest sense of the word. She's already an instrument for many, but a leader. But it is when she has accomplished something inside. I just feel that she's at a breakthrough moment. I hope she doesn't mind me saying that. And as for Brother Eric, I've known for a long time too. I think he's been with Baba for about 33 years. And this is bad. I don't even know if your official title is National Coordinator, is it?
I don't know myself, so
you see.
I don't know, you should ask someone.
So
I call it usually Noodle Coordinator. I think NC is more like you're trying to steer the noodle, so you're Noodle Coordinator.
And so to
I'm a noodle coordinator for Canada.
All right. You see, we don't even think in terms of titles. These are spiritual friends. And Eric is as accomplished in the Lokic world as he is in the Alokic world. And by profession, he is a media person. He's a journalist. He works for Canadian Broadcasting. And so he has... absolutely everything, and he manages the center in Montreal as well as coordinating the activities across Canada, and so he has everything going for him, and what the world would value, he has a great quantity of it, and all of it with a French accent. And on the other hand, spiritually speaking, where it could be so easy to be drawn back into that world because he has fame, he has name, he has recognition, and yet his dedication to his spiritual life, and for all of us, you know, surmounting whatever are the difficulties that each one has on their own personal journey, but after all of these years, we are still here, we are still learning, we are still growing. And so this is like a living room situation. So welcome to the living room and let's see what emerges. Manda.
I think that I would also share a little something about Sister Wadi. And as Wadi mentioned, I've known her ever since I came into Gyan. And I even remember the first time I met her in Tennyson Road, which is where Baba's service first began, for those of you who know. And the thing about Sister Wadi is that she's a friend of everyone. And she's got this incredible ability to be able to make you feel so relaxed, so easy, that you didn't even know that you had a question or a problem or a, or a difficulty that you went to her with. And so Wadi's also my spiritual friend, and whenever I have some question or a query in my mind and I've gone to Baba and haven't been able to quite find a solution, she's my next port of call. And so I also learn a lot from her. She's my friend and my big sister as well. And we actually go on this journey together in a very profound way. So thank you for being there.
And for those who don't know, Manda is based in Oxford in England. And Wadi is in Miami. And I'm in Montreal in Canada. And these two sisters, you know, the only part I can share with my French accent. And I'm trying to speak slow, not because I'm old. And we're all going to try to speak slow, not because we're that old in Guyane and in physical body, but we're aware that most of you are dependent on the translation. So we feel for the translators, we thank them, and please don't hesitate to bang on the windows when we forget totally about you and we start speaking too fast. So without translators, you would never laugh when we make a joke, and you would understand nothing of what we say, so we really appreciate that work. But you know, my experience as a Brahmin, and particularly as a brother, is to be terrorized by sisters. And I'll confess, it started right when I started in Yan, because when we come to Baba and then we want to get close to the daddies, there is a kind of little, bodyguards around daddy. They may not be very tall and very muscular, but I can tell you, you cannot go through. They're called sisters. And I've always been impressed when I went close to daddies to see all these sisters glued to daddy. And I was always very shy, and my self-esteem was what it is after 5,000 years of breaking it down. And so I always felt very intimidated by those sisters. And when I listened to them giving classes, I always felt so stupid. And so, you know, what am I doing? They know it all. They have access to daddies. And so it took me years to finally push my way in, pretend sometimes I'm a sister. That's the best trick, brothers. You just show up with long hair and just sit quietly. And one day they don't notice you're a brother, and that's very nice. And you squeeze in with the sisters. But I've learned to admire them because they work very, very hard. And I know that the reason why they are close to daddy is also because of the trust that he has given to them. And the you know, the way Baba has been, I think, reaching out the world is because we have sisters who have been given their life. And although they look like sometimes commander-in-chief, right? Now they've become so sweet.
Why are you
sweet.
Looking at me?
No, both of you. But as a brother, and I want to make other brothers feel courageous and comfortable, we learn to love sisters in such a way that we respect them, we honor them, and we recognize the beauty of what they have brought to the world. But the best thing they have done is one day including us close to the daddies and the seniors, and I've been very privileged to be a friend of those sisters as well. So I'm happy to be your friend as well. And I'm not scared of you anymore, so you can be prepared. So what are we going to talk about if there's no topic? You know, we received some of your messages, and we were told not to ask questions in a formal way as we do sometimes with panels. I just felt I wanted to share what I'm going through, and I want to actually hear from Manda, because you brought something very mysterious. She's about to go through a breakdown.
Not breakdown.
Don't translate, no, not breakdown, or not translate wrongly by
breakthrough.
A breakthrough, yes, you see. French accent. She's not going to break down, she's going to break through. Careful with translation. She's not going to die. And I think we're all going through a lot of changes. And it's good because apparently that's the point of Brahmin life, is to change. But we change the way we think. And what we, I think, saw in the questions and in the comments are, you know, souls, I think, that are questioning sometimes the way we should feel about sometimes disciplines, attitude, behavior in the center. And there is different phases. I mean, for me, I know that in the beginning we accept everything. And then one day we start to say, but is it normal that this is going on? And then we question Gyan, and then we question seniors, then we question Baba, then we question everything ourselves. And I think most of us go through a lot of thinking within, and we have to revisit a lot of our ideas. And I find it's beautiful when we hear that souls like you, Manda, also are, you know, courageous enough to stop sometimes and wonder, okay, what is my next phase? What am I going through? And do I do the same thing all over again? Or do I do it new? So I find this is really the heart of our conversation, is what is going on now in our thinking, which was not there before, and how we are thinking differently, how we feel differently. And we relate to some of those questions because we went through a lot of questioning about everything in our Brahmin life. So what's your breaking through? Which is not a breaking down.
Well, I suppose it's a bit of a long story in one sense, but I think it is exactly what you just described, this evolution of the self. And you get to a point where you realize that actually I came to Baba wanting truth, wanting God, wanting to understand deeper aspects of my own self. But then I found myself getting so caught up in everything so beautiful offered by Baba, whether it's the family or whether it's the company or the atmosphere, and even service, and incredible. I think that all of us have a gift of success in service at the end of the day, because we're not doing it. It's Baba who's making everything happen, or it's happening because of Baba. And so you get to a point where you think, well, how far have I come inside my own self? And I suppose 2 or 3 years ago I began that. And I have to be honest, and I started off with feeling frustrated, confused, unhappy, and wondering, what am I doing? What am I supposed to be doing? How am I? And it happened 3 years ago maybe. And I actually didn't know at the time. So I kind of went along and I'd find a little bit of something else to make myself feel good, and I would feel good for a while, and then again the same frustrations would come up. And so then I started to unravel. I started to look at it more, started to reach out to situations and people and newer learnings. And I really feel that what's happened for me is that I'm Indian, totally culturally. I lived in India as a child, actually, for nearly 6 years. Grew up partly in Africa, partly in India, and so I'm, the Indian culture is very, very embedded within me. And then from my teenage years, I grew up in England, so hugely, and complete instant affinity with England, I have to say. I didn't speak any language, I didn't speak English at all when I went to England, 13 and a half, nearly 14 years of age, and I picked it up like duck to water, as they say, just affinity with everything. So I very quickly became English thinking, if you like. And so there is these two sides of me. And whilst I went along with everything in Gyan, I'm now not questioning, but I think waking up is more, and realizing how much of the cultural overlay there was, how much bhakti overlay there was in my life. And I just feel that I want Gyan, I want service, I want Baba, there is nothing else. But to be able to have it in a true authentic way, and that's what my exploration. We were together in New York as part of my journey with Mohini Ben for 3 days as well. Oh, you were there too, Wadi. No, you were there in that one, the three.
Well?
Yeah, Eric was there. The three of us were in that little group. And that's my exploration at the moment. But what it's making me do is it's making me withdraw from everything that I've known and everything that I've done. And, you know, which includes being upfront. This is one of my rare things, but I used to be upfront so much with Daddy and doing different things, and I feel more and more this space to be able to be inside myself. I feel deeply called to solitude and being alone and just instead of looking for things outside stimulus.
But do you find it scary? Do you find it scary?
Extremely
sometimes?
Scary. The reason why it's extremely scary for me is because I kind of think, what is next? After it's uncertainty, vulnerability, but owning up to all of those things are forming part of it.
This is part of what I was saying earlier, her courage to do it publicly. I think for every Brahmin, there is what they refer to as its par for the course, meaning we all have to go through all of the same things. It may be in different forms on the outside. It may look different. The time period might be different. And some might do it quietly and some might do it more ostentatiously or externally. But that we all have to undergo the same things. And I just feel in this sense that that Manda's allowing us to see that it's okay, and we recognize that all of us are constantly renewing ourselves if we are holding true to what it is that Baba is teaching us. And that means that just like when we came to Gyan, we dropped old belief systems. And so too in our journey, it is constantly about dropping things and taking on something new. It doesn't necessarily mean a rejection of something, but that your journey means that you have to keep seeing things in a different way. It's kind of like an expansiveness of consciousness, of awareness, and sometimes it can be frightening, and you may, as Manda is implying, you think you're being untrue to Baba or to the path that you've chosen, but not necessarily so. And so how do we do that and support each other in the process, and knowing what it is that we need to let go of? Or we were discussing just before we came on stage that for myself, what I've seen, that even though when I came to Gyan, I had finished my bhakti, no question about it. I knew I was looking for silence. But in more recent years, I've been looking again at the bhakti, not the bhakti that I grew up with, but Hinduism. And I'm just amazed at the beauty and the wisdom, but I can only appreciate it because I have the experience of it in terms of Gyan. It's not just a story. People have the stories of bhakti, but Baba has given me the experience of it. So I can look at the story again and appreciate it, but it's not that I'm going to go back to bhakti again. So it's knowing what to let go of. It's knowing what you can pick up from before and reevaluate it, but not necessarily to take it on again. I hope that didn't sound too preachy.
But I think, Eric, you too are kind of on the brink of something, I think.
And I think
so
we're all in
maybe
there.
You could
break in,
tell
break
us
through,
a little bit.
Break out. Something breaking in one way.
So tell us a little bit about what your process, thinking process is.
Yeah,
at the moment.
And I think it connects with there was a question I like about, can the discipline be practiced in such a way that suddenly it becomes suppression? And I think what I've seen in my life and what I've seen in many of the Brahmins is we rush and we run into certain disciplines in Brahmin life, knowing this is the right thing to do, this is perfectly okay, this is Baba Srimat, this is purity, this and that. And then we go into it, and then one day we feel that we're not authentic. And I remember probably, I would say, well, 5, 6, 7, almost 10 years ago, this word authenticity was very, very popular amongst BKs. And we're all crying out, saying, I want to be authentic, I want to be authentic. And we'll look at each other, what does it mean, you know? Do I still wear my kurta? Do I wear jeans? I've seen Indian sisters, you know, who were in Gyan for a long, long time. You can tell by the length of their ponytail, you know, it's going really, really long. And then one day they show up.
This is not very long, actually.
But you're going through a breakthrough. And that's what I was going to say. I see that sister with very long hair, one day showing up with short hair and jeans. And I says, oh, this is interesting. And, you know, big change. And somebody totally changing their physical appearance. And you see that same sisters now 10 years later, and the hair is growing again, back into a sari. But she says, now I'm authentic. I say, oh, what happened? You know, like, beside cutting your hair and wearing jeans for a while. So I think we all go through, and for me it was the same, that I felt at some point that the systems I put myself into was starting to make me suffocate. And the day I realized that some of the service I was doing was just like a job, you know, I felt I was going out of the office during the day. I would go at home and I would sit in front of the computer and I would stay there until, you know, 10 o'clock and I would feel, hello. That's nice. We have 4 panelists, by the way. There's a 4th one here. It's called a pigeon. If you know Bhakti story, be careful. They understand a lot more than you think. And so I realized I'm just having 2 jobs here. I'm working like crazy during the day. I go home in the evening, and I'm doing another job again. And sometimes people were, you know, it really dawned to me when I was called coordinator of a television show. And I would go to work, and I would do exactly the same thing as I would be doing in a center, coordinating. So you'll have meeting, you'll dealt with organizing events, but also dealing with personalities, problems with managing personalities and staff. And then you go to the center, and you're managing staff, personalities, and activities. And that's when, for me, was really the turning point when I said, no, I can't, this is not working for me anymore. But it was scary, because saying no to seniors, or saying no to service, or saying no to your Brahmin life the way it is, for me, was quite scary. And my experience today is that I've learned to be responsible for my spiritual life. And I don't know how to phrase it, but I feel like I value support, I value seniors, but I've cut the umbilical cord, how you call it. Mm-hmm. You know, I really feel that that's it. You know, I'm on my own, and I have to own my life. And my life is not my BK life. I decided that my life is my life. And BK is there, but, you know, life is bigger than BK. And I think it's like seeing the whole cycle, saying my reality, I think, in my spirituality. And it's very kind of unsettling.
Did you feel that you were putting yourself under a magnifying glass for your own self? Because I feel like that. It's like everything that creates an icky feeling inside me, it's like I have to look at it. What is it that's doing this? When you say you have to say no to the seniors, or no to service, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I shouldn't be saying no. Why am I doing this? Why am I feeling so uncertain? Why am I feeling like this? And then I end up looking at myself, and I find these incredible openings or incredible understanding that I have about myself. Even if the not so pleasant things I learn about myself are good things to learn about, because because it means I can do something about it instead of just sitting on it. And I find that most amazing. I find some good things, but I find a lot of not so good things. It means, you know, I realized just recently, a few months ago, how much self-doubt I have. And people who know me think, you self-doubt? Not possible. But it's when I'm thinking about things or questioning and I want to make a decision in this way and everybody else is going in this way and I doubt myself first. I don't question other people. I doubt myself. And then I open up this whole thing about self-doubt that I have. And that's one of the reasons why I jumped into doing whatever you tell me to do. Being whatever you ask me to be. But it came from the place of self-doubt. Not necessarily fully awakened, realized state. But so now I can jump into it with a fully awakened, realized state. Did you kind of...
Can I
say something?
Yeah, just this very short. And in response to what you were saying, and this is many, 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 many years ago in Miami, and Daddy Janky was there visiting, and I guess I was going through something at the time, and I'm saying to her, Daddy, why do we need this whole big institution? You know, why can't I just have a relationship with God? And Daddy said very simply, Wadi, understand the difference between being dependent on and taking the support of. And so being dependent means you can get trapped. You can make it your prison, but realizing that it is a support system which Baba has given us and that we can move, you know, with caution and with, what's the word I can use? You know, being guided in a sense, so that then you can become what you're both saying. And what Baba wants us to become is your full, whole, integrated self, which ultimately will no longer need the institution or the, what do you call it when you're building a building?
The scaffolding.
He's creating us, but the scaffolding is very important, but not to get to think that the scaffolding is not to be dependent on it, but to use it as a support system that it is.
But what I find very liberating is the feeling that you are creating your values, your thinking, your experience of spirituality based on our own will, our own courage, our own strength. Of course, we are dependent and taking support of Baba, but I find that we are moving in a way where spirituality becomes very living. And I realized that some seniors told me one day, you know, what will reveal Baba at the end is not the institution, it's the individuals. And what I've seen, although I don't know for those who are coming for the first time, if you find it completely depressing to see three old BKs talking about their breakthrough, break-in, breakdown. Hold on, the story continues. There is hope. We're doing okay, by the way, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But the feeling is that I'm seeing a lot of older BKs having to really create their unicity on their own, so they can really be free on a spiritual level and they can really reveal their own beauty, their own speciality, their own uniqueness, not because they're told to, but because that's their calling. And that's the way I feel at the moment. It's like, I have no choice. There's something bigger that is calling me. And before, I used to listen to the voice of other people guiding me. And today it's as if those voices have stopped and it's my inner voice that is guiding me. And I feel that very, very liberating. It's scary, but it's very liberating. And mostly when I see that, it doesn't take me away from Gyan or from Brahmin life or from the Maryadas or from the principle, but it brings me into these with a new language. It's like I never like anymore to say, oh, I have to wake up for Madhvena. I mean, this is like trick words that don't allow us to know what I'm doing. I prefer to say, I really want to wake up early tomorrow morning. I love it. You know, when I wake up early in the morning, I want to feel Baba's presence. I want to be with Baba. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if it's 4, 4:15, you know, sometimes we have to really think, what am I really doing?
Mm-hmm.
And when we feel the pressure sometimes, I know in the center, to say, you have to be in class. You're missing Murli. And this suppression that I read in the sentence, and you follow discipline, but it becomes suppression. Maybe an answer would be, well, don't look at it as, I have to go to Murli class. I have to rephrase it. What does it mean to me? I like to go and meet those weird people in the morning, and we listen to these bizarre things, but we really feel great. I love it. You know, this is my thing in the morning. I love to be with these strange people in this kind of setting before going to work, and we buzz on something. So I had to rephrase Murli class into this, so it makes sense to me.
Sister Mohini, we were with Sister Mohini this morning, and I've forgotten, maybe you had asked her something, Manda, but one of the things she was saying about that trust in her own intellect and the development of her own intellect, and where, in fact, it wasn't her intellect, she said, responding to this word calling, I think it's a very appropriate word, you brought it up recently and I liked it, what is your soul calling you to do? So that sense, she was saying that she already knows, but then she will verify it. She just speaks to the other seniors to get verification of what she intuitively knows is the next step for her.
I was going to say something about what Eric was saying. What we were saying earlier on when we were speaking, which I think is relevant to all of us, that from the moment we come to Baba, actually we're growing, we're evolving. And so what we understood in the beginning is not what we understand now. It changes as our thinking changes, as you were saying, as we mature. But I think one of the things is that one, and I suppose it applies all across the board, and that is that when we come to Baba, we have a huge lack of self-respect. And because some of us, people like me who came as young Kumaris, were very innocent and naive in life generally. For us, both of these evolutions are taking place, spiritual as well as emotional and physical and all of those. And so perhaps people like me take longer. I think I'm amazed at the young people that come these days. They're so grown up and so mature about themselves and about life, and therefore ultimately...
But you know, the second Brahmin life, the...
Yeah,
worked probably, hard for 30
right.
years before.
Yeah, you're probably right, actually. But I think that one of the questions that's there about when you're going through things and you're not used to speaking about it, how do you start to do it? And I think the role of friendships is important in Brahmin life too. Sometimes we just think we're talking to Baba, but actually we're only talking to ourselves in this narrow frame of mind. But in order to be able to open up what's going on inside, it's important to have friends and people that you trust. And it can be just one person or two people that help you unravel things for yourself, who actually believe in you for who you, despite your weaknesses, not only because of your strengths. And so if you have somebody like that in your life that helps you unravel, then you can grow. Your thinking can change and your emotional maturity is supported, I think, by people like those.
Are they all extensions of your own self? Is everybody in your drama some extension of your own self? Do you think?
What do you think?
I think so. I think so. They're all your creation. It was like when you were telling the story at the beginning about how... you know, the group of sisters or whatever around Daddy Janki. And then you discover later on that it was more in your mind than in actuality.
Well, I don't know.
You were
so
really scary.
I think I might support Eric in that, actually.
You were really
I'm not
scary.
So sure about that.
Because
I've seen
Daddy with his brother in particular, how many times she's hugged him
yeah.
and so on. But you know that you see something and you respond to it with fear, or you give it a life, Whereas if you just had another thought, there would have been a parting for you to easily enter. And so that mostly the people in front of us at some level are our own creation. We need them for our progress, good or bad. And so this is the thing, that at every moment you have a choice. And then what I think Eric and Manda are both saying is that you evolve, you know, so then your choices become wiser, become more mature and easier, and so that your path becomes more simple as well.
And you know, I realize we're moving in our discussion along with what was brought to us as well, because one of the comments was, is there a connection between inner fear and trust in others? And what you're saying is that it's true, in my beginning I had that inner fear because of the lack of trust in myself. And I didn't trust me to be good enough, to be worthy enough, to be with the sisters. So I rejected myself. Not that the sisters rejected me, but I had to trust me first, realize that I was not judged or threatened by the sisters. I mean, I say sisters, I'm sure there were some brothers around that as well. You know, but, and I appreciate the fact that and at some point we realized that one day, I think Sister Denise who told me, you know, if you reveal yourself as you really are, people will still love you. And to me, that was the breakthrough. That was the breakthrough. What do you mean? I can be me and people will still love me. I don't have to be this perfect BK that I'm trying so hard to be. And if I confess publicly, or if I break through publicly, people will still love me. And she said, no, if you just be yourself, people will still love you. Don't worry. And to me, it was a big, big push. Like you're talking, do we need extension of ourselves or our friends? I think I wouldn't be where I am today without those friends.
Absolutely. And also this question about fear and trust. In my journey, I also discovered that biggest lessons for me is, or for me to look at myself is that when I react to something in a certain way outside of myself, or I respond to something in a certain way, it really is a reflection of what I think about my own self, what I feel about my own self. And that's been an amazing opening for me, where I can be very opinionated or judgmental or doubt. And as I turn it around and I looked at myself thinking, gosh, I'm so judgmental about my own self. I'm so opinionated about my own self. And I'm so quick to put myself down. And it happens so incredibly subtly. And that's why this thing of fear and trust is that, yeah, because I have fear inside me, I don't trust outside of me. And so when there is lack of trust, can I turn it around? And I think, okay, well, how do I feel about my own self? Do I trust my own self? No, I'm so scared. And that's why, to protect my fear, I don't trust. Because I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to be upset. I don't want to be let down. And so but that also takes courage, I think, to own up to looking at your own self. Because it's much easier to say, they're the ones who are wrong in doing what they're doing. And they may be. But, as you say, but I think there's still the journey of not just changing the thought, changing your heart and building some worth, self-worth and self-respect within yourself, that you are whatever you are, whoever you are that. I really don't feel I'm there at all, but I have to remind myself, even today, so much that whatever I am, however I am, it's okay. And still today, after all these years, in fact, I've only just woken up to that recently. And then I don't worry about what people think. And I realize how much I'm so scared about what people think. What people think, you know, how I should be and what my dharana should be, where I should be at what time and how long for. All of these things, And you live your life according to that.
Is it that then you reach a point where, and this sometimes happens in relationships, former experiences where it's not so much that you dislike the other person in the relationship, but you dislike who you've become. You don't like how you've compromised yourself. And in the same way as, Manda's saying this feeling too, that, if I have a lot of guilt inside, then I'm going to find someone to punish me. That guilt will seek punishment. And so to be aware that we really, I know it's philosophical and everything, but you really are the creator of your own drama. You dictate who's going to be in your drama and what role they're going to play in your drama. And so it's, these little things help, because otherwise, as you say, I blame the past, I blame, could be seniors, it could be, my companions, whatever, but ultimately it's this thing of that I am along with Baba, and of course even the point that we all have reached in being, I like to think of being independent in one's thinking, but it's only because Baba has supported us to this point, otherwise we couldn't even be asking these questions or becoming what we're becoming. And so never losing sight of the fact that at every moment Baba's encouraging us and taking those steps with us and, seeing us into our fullness, right?
But I'm increasingly aware of this deepest, deepest, deepest desire to truly transform myself spiritually. And I think that each one of us I have to ask myself, how much do I want it? How much do I really want it? And I have to say, up until when I really started to look at this, I didn't really want it. I enjoyed it. I recognized its value. But that deepest desire of change and honesty within myself, although I spoke about it, I was drawn to it. And I have to say, somebody asked me, I think it was in fact Jayanti Ben, we were having a conversation with her, and I think that I was aware of the power of honesty and truth because of my own close relationship with Daddy and translating for Daddy so much, because when you listen to Daddy that closely, you have to get what she's saying, and I got what she was saying, but I actually used that to make myself, I used it to tell others about it, to speak about it, to understand it, to express it. But was I really living it? I wasn't really living it. And when I decide that I really want to live that truth, then there's nothing to change out there. There is no one to change out there but myself. And we're not always all ready for it.
And I'm enjoying because we are having chit-chat. I hope you are feeling part of the discussion here. Yes, it's okay? Because I'm moving those little paper in front that you were submitting. And one funny thing is that they speak out very loudly to us, not just as questions that people may have, but we're talking about changing, making big, transformations in our life, taking risks. And the question I see here is, how do I know that I am on the right track in this Brahmin life? And then we are, taking risk, breaking through, breaking in sometimes, breaking out on the other end. How do you know? And that's a question I thought somebody may ask for themselves. And I realize, as if somebody is challenging us, saying, well, how do you know you're on the right track? You're completely off track, thinking you're recreating yourself in a real way, but it's complete illusion. Maybe I should start to let my hair grow again and wear sari, Not that I've done that before, but in case. So how do we know we're on the right track?
It's a very good question. If I'm really honest, right this very minute, I don't know. And the reason why I don't know is because I think, and when I'm saying I don't know, I mean that it's a phase. I'm learning to accept that phase that I don't know. because that too means that I have to learn to trust and to have patience. And the other day, Sister Moini said something that actually completely threw me, and I needed time to think about it, and that was about self-trust, trusting Baba and trusting Dharma. And I was thinking, oh my God, if you really trusted, then you wouldn't be afraid, you wouldn't be worried, you wouldn't, you would just sit and sit and sit and wait. And I feel that right now, that's what I have to do. And that's why I could say, personally, in answer to that question, although you said something else earlier on, which you could also share, which is also true, but for me right now, I just have to develop patience. I have to develop trust. And these are genuine qualities that I need. I don't have them. And that's why this thing, and because of that, it's okay. I have to learn these things, and then everything will unfold. Make friendship with Baba and friendship with Dharma, and just say, you know, okay guys, we're going to get to the bottom of this together.
I will agree with you that maybe I don't know, and we will ask Wadi maybe, because we've both shared a little bit our breakthrough publicly. Wadi, you can enjoy being the spectator and tell us if it's true what I'm going to share, but I would agree with you, I don't know if we're doing the right thing. The only word that keeps coming to my head recently is kind of a discovery, really, about happiness. And the question came to me one day thinking, can we say that happiness is the measurement of success in Brahmin life? Can we be a successful, unhappy BK? Does it work? You know,
it depends on how you define success.
Can you be really? Can really be a moody karmateet BK? Does it work? And when I realized that doesn't make sense, but I looked at everyone's face and I thought nobody looks really happy here. What's happening? And I saw somebody guiding meditation, and while I was guiding meditation, they looked so angry and so unhappy. I thought, do I look like that when I guide meditation? So I almost wanted to go in front of a mirror and, you know, catch myself getting meditation. What do I do when I got meditation? Am I looking at people like I'm going to kill them? Or do I look like people I'm going to embrace them? And I really started going to my inner doctor saying, I need a happiness check, you know. And it's scary if you ask yourself on the scale of 1 to 10, how happy am I really? That is my scariest question, because I had to admit I can look happy. I'm very good at that. Very good. I can look happy. But how much am I really happy inside? It was for me a calling about, wow, why are you not more happy? And maybe because I'm not doing the right thing or the right way, or I don't know. So I'm questioning. Now you as an observer, seeing two crazy old BKs going through their breakthrough,
speak
and you haven't shared yet. What you're going through.
I remember, the very first time I came to Madhuban, and I wasn't quite a Brahmin yet, and walking with Brother Karuna, and again, the nature of asking people anyway, and I asked him, are you happy? And he said, oh, sister, this isn't the time for happiness.
This is not?
Yeah, that was what he said. This is not. I understood what he meant.
Okay, that was 40 years ago.
That was more.
Nice change. Now this is a time for happiness.
Well, it's a time for. I don't know if it's contentment, but what would definitely be in the way of happiness would be some unfulfilled desires. I think desires would be part of that.
Tell me more. I'm listening.
Well, I would think, because there's a contradiction there. If there's not happiness, it means, again, the connection between contentment that for what is. And it doesn't mean that by being content with what is, that there isn't more to come. But before there's the more to come, you have to be content with this. And this.
Again. What? Did you phrase that again? The equation? I'm sure in translation they must have fun with this one.
The contentment doesn't mean, okay, fine, that's it, enough. But that you're content with where you're at, And it's almost as if then that, that at every step where there's creativity, contentment, whatever you want to call it, then your next step will automatically be revealed. It's like, again, that image of somebody had once written to me. They were in Madhuban and the light only extended so far on the path where they were. And then as they got to the edge of the darkness, another light came on. And so always that feeling that this is sufficient unto itself. I sometimes tell people, you know, look down and see where your feet are, and that's exactly where you're supposed to be at this moment, you know, and then proceed from there. But if I'm constantly thinking, oh, I should be over there, or I should have reached this stage, or, you know, I'm not doing this, then you're going to stay stuck in that
position.
So
if a new BK were to talk to you as if you were Karuna today, and ask you, sister, are you happy? Would you tell them this is not the time to be happy?
I would. I think I'm relatively happy.
Can you define?
Happy.
Can you define relatively?
Yeah. And what you were talking about earlier, that thing, and Amanda was asking you, you know, about success. It's not about success because that's an external thing, but it's about victory. And I think that's private, and that's for each one of us. You may not know what is my inner demons or what it is that I have to go through, but that with Baba and that faith and overcoming those. And I think there was a question there, something. And so how do I know there's been change? Because essentially the thing that we're working with is trying to reduce the ego, you know, and that's where I can perceive change, you know, because the ego is very hard and rigid and unyielding. And so when there's been some kind of a change in karma or some kind of a transformation, then there's a, what I see is there's a gentleness. Manda touched on the idea of like vulnerability. There's a vulnerability which comes, which means that there's an honesty present in that letting go of some old aspect of the ego which we think we needed in order to survive or whatever. So in that way I would see transformation, I would see change, I would see victory more than success, you know. And then as each one of us have our own personal victories, then we can say, oh, this is our success, this is Baba's success.
I think I have to say, though, sorrow or unhappiness, there are two aspects. One is this intrinsic is not the right word in this context, but that there is sorrow inside of us, unhappiness inside of us.
Sadness.
As a stored experience and energy of the last many births. And then there is the sorrow of, or unhappiness of what's in front of us. So I think what you were talking about, contentment. So one is this aspect of contentment. If you don't have that, you are not able to manage or deal with the experience of the sorrow that comes from nowhere. You know, and you think, I was fine yesterday. What happened today? And that's, I think, my sense is that that's what Baba refers to as your sins of the past. In the sense that it comes up in the obvious way that it comes up is in the form of unhappiness and sorrow and suffering, which has no reason, no rhyme, and it just comes up from nowhere. So I think it's important to separate that from this here unhappiness that you create by looking at someone else and dissatisfaction with this or desires or expectations. That's something different from this one. This one is so deep and it can only be dealt with yoga. It's there, I see it, I acknowledge it, I accept it, and I say, okay, I get you. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Mm. And this is where I then use Gyan and yoga in order to kind of deal with it or resolve it. And so that's what the management, I don't know if you call it management, but this is where you use Baba. And I think it's important to bring Baba into it at this point in time. And the reason why I know I don't bring Baba into it at times is because I don't use him enough. And it's because, again, it's listening to Sister Moini's class the other day, which most people must have heard. I felt overwhelmed with this feeling that how much I have to keep bringing the awareness back to Baba again and again and again, every moment of the day, in every situation. And I just don't do it. It's just not the practice, and it's probably fundamentally only a practice. Okay, Baba, okay, where are you? What am I thinking? And it's that basic and that simple. Then I can begin to feel a little bit more satisfied with myself. Mm. And I can see victory appearing in front of me. Mm-hmm. It's only when Baba is not in the picture and you feel completely alone in this journey, although you love God and you know you want God, but it's when you become alone in this journey without Baba, even if you have friends at the end of the day. Again, what I'm feeling these days is that these external stimuluses of listening to other people's ideas, I really feel I need to emerge it from within myself and with Baba. Mm. Because it's the only thing that's going to stay with me. It's the only thing that's going to allow it to grow. That's going to bring me real happiness.
Mm. Yeah, I'm very happy you brought Baba in the discussion. I was just waiting for you to finish to say, so why don't we discuss a bit about where Baba fits in all this, you know? And I really totally agree with you that I would say that my most fulfilling discovery or enjoyment going through the process of change and questioning big things in my own Brahmin life, the biggest, most satisfying moment is redefining my experience and my understanding of Baba. And I found that playing with the idea of challenging my relationship with him and being open to completely redesign and redefine the connection is what I found the most stimulating. Mm. Because on one hand, I think, let's be honest, Ravan is coming with his knives and forks in front of you saying, hello, dinner, you know, how are you doing? And you look like a hamburger thinking, I'm not sure I'm doing too well, you know, with you in front of me with your knife and your fork. And you feel like a dinner, you know, really, you're going to be Ravan's dinner. And there are so many temptations, so many reasons to feel a failure, so many desires, like you were mentioning. I mean, honestly, I haven't overcome desires at all. But on the other hand, there's this new seduction for Baba, mm-hmm. that you feel, oh, you also came up with your new style, your new cook, you know, and I'm your dinner too, you know, that's okay. But he's going to prepare me in a very different way. So he's inviting me at the table. And maybe because I love my French sanskars, I've cleaned them up a little bit. I've threw a few away. For those who are from France, hello, I love you. But I do...
Say it properly, je t'aime.
Je t'aime, bien sûr. Je vous aime. But I like this romance with Baba a lot. I found that... yoga could be very romantic, although I've heard a senior telling me, don't expect Baba to be romantic with you. And I think she was jealous because I was describing my relationship with him. But I'm quite romantic, and I love the idea of Baba being, you know, the other day there was this feeling that he was saying almost, if you study well, you can become Baba's child. But in remembrance, you'll become Baba's lover. And I keep hearing that word, lover in English, it's sweet, but in French, I have to admit, it's way sweeter. And if you say lover in French, it's amoureux, which means almost a soul dying, amoureuse. So it's like you're dying alive, you know, you're so in love that everything else dies. And that's my experience today, that I've been hearing for ages, you know, Baba is saying the moth goes to the flame, but turns around, but it doesn't burn. And I'm questioning myself, am I burning? Do I feel the flame burning me? Or am I scared of being burned in the flame? And I think the burning is the dying. And to be very honest, I think for me, my deepest fear is that dying alive, because I'm still holding on to, you know, the old world, thinking, maybe, you know, there's a new movie that came out, it's pretty good, you know. Am I to die and not to watch the movie? But on the other hand, it's this new attraction I find after all these years that I still feel amazed about, that I can renew my romance with Baba. And this is what I find the most beautiful thing.
I think that's a key word, this renew, that it always has to feel like something new. And for me, what's always new, in a sense, is Baba the teacher. And that I find myself being humbled by the truth of what it is that Baba tells us, and not least in the light of events in the world and things that are happening, that Baba said all these things so many years ago, and that's the thing that's always touches me is the truth. Somebody was doing a workshop today, and she was encouraging people to remember a very special experience with Baba. And I think that's the thing, that you keep going back maybe to that initial experience as a jumping off point for new experiences. And, you know, you're constantly being renewed. It looks like, I sometimes think that even truth is not static. It keeps changing, as Manda had said, that your way of seeing it changes as you move along, and Baba's patience is there and waiting for us to come into that experience. And of course, we're only part the way on the journey. I speak for myself, but ever the intoxication of truth.
I think we have to finish now, but I would just add, you use the word renew, but redefine yoga for myself too. I think I used to be in my head a lot when I used to have yoga, but now I started to have yoga with my whole being, my entire being, and that means my mind, my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions, my body, my heart, my everything. And so I kind of, when I sit in yoga,
your
often,
stomach as well,
my stomach and everything. And so I think it makes yoga very solid, although we think of it as something very abstract and up above, but it's here, and almost a vibration and energy that becomes really present for you. And that I found useful, because that's what I've used to use yoga in actions and in relationships too, in a sense that, so that it's here, in me, with me, around me.
We have to stop for meditation and be maybe the living flames and the living moth and enjoy meditation. We try to refer to as many comments and questions that you submitted. We hope we address them all. And if not, they are in between the lines somewhere.
Again, just acknowledging what you're saying, and I would hope that these very heartfelt and honest expressions from each one have provided a mirror for you, and where you may be at the moment, or where you have been, or where you aspire to go to. And so thank you all very much for being with us. Om Shanti.